You're about to hear a message from the team at C3 Church Bethel. We pray that this message will inspire you to live your best life and bring life to the people around you.
Okay, so I understand that these last few weeks you've been talking about magnifying God. And we're going to sort of wrap that up today, but I guess, my own focus to that, something that I just believe God wants to speak into us about today. Particularly, here you are with such a great opportunity in the city of Bathurst to reach people, all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds, students, older people, middle-aged people. It's such a diverse place, beautiful place, but God has placed you here for a reason, for a purpose. So my message today is about being a bringer, okay? And what does that all mean? Well, hopefully that'll become really clear. Okay, why don't we just actually just pray right now, and I'm just going to ask God to speak to us and bless us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. We thank you that you are with us. Lord, we don't need to pray that you are with us. You are with us because you said so. And we believe that. And right now, I pray for every person in this room. I pray, Lord God, that wherever we are at, Lord, you would come to us right where we are. And Lord, thank you that that's what you do. That's the kind of God you are. Jesus, we love you. Amen. So one day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men, I like that, I'm going to refer to that a bit later. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Does it ever strike you that those guys are answering their own question right there? Anyway, that's just beside, by the by. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." You know, the book of Luke is written by Luke, and he was a doctor. He was always very interested in miracles and interested in healing. So there's a lot of healings when you read the book of Luke. But Luke's also a very careful writer. Where he places events, I mean, there's a degree of the chronological, like the timeline, these things happen. But I think not all the gospel writers necessarily do that. And sometimes he will place various events around and about in his writings. So generally it's like a timeline, but he will also be very intentional about what he writes and where he places things that happen. And he does that to make a point. So I want to just draw your attention to that, because when you go home in your own time, I would encourage you just to look at all of Luke chapter 5, okay? Because at the beginning of Luke chapter 5, Jesus begins with a commissioning. He says to disciples in verse 10, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you are going to be catching people." See, the people he was speaking to were fishermen, and he says, "All right, that's all very well, but that's in the past. Now, from now on, you're going to be working with me and we are going after people. All right, I want you to remember that. And then on either side of this particular story that we just read, there are some interactions that Jesus has with people that are on the outside. So we call them outsiders, people that aren't in the inner circle of religious life, okay? People who are on the outside for different reasons. One of them, in verse 12 of chapter 5, again, I just want to say, look at this in your own time. We see an outcast who's a leper. He meets Jesus and he is healed. Amazing. At the end of this chapter, so after this story, we meet another kind of outsider, a tax collector. And tax collectors in those days were definitely outsiders. They were despised by the local people because they were working hand in hand with the Roman occupiers, okay? So, but this guy, Levi, meets Jesus and he becomes a disciple as well. He's also known as Matthew, who went on to write the Gospel of Matthew. So on either side of this particular story, there are outsiders being brought from the outside into the inside. You know, that's actually what Jesus wants to do. He wants to bring people who are on the outside to the in. There doesn't need to be outsiders anymore. Isn't that good news? It doesn't need to be outsiders. You might feel like you're an outsider, but you don't need to be on the outside because with Jesus Christ, the good news is he wants to bring you onto the inside with him, okay, to work with him, to live with him, to have relationship with him. You don't need to be on the outside anymore. So good. So in Jesus' interactions, we see the heart of God. The heart of God for people is to bring them from the outside to the inside. And when we see what Jesus does, when you actually read the gospel, when you see what Jesus says and does, what you're actually seeing and hearing is what God says and does. Because it's the heart of God. So I want to just point out a couple of verses just through this passage and then wrap it up. And it'll make sense to you. Okay, that's the idea, right? It'll make sense to you. Okay, bear with me. So, all right, verse 17. The power of God was present for him to heal the sick. The power of God was present for him to heal the sick. You know, where the Spirit of God is, there is power. Where the Spirit of God is, there is power. When Jesus is around, things happen. Now, I'm not sure whether you're aware of that, but right now, we are in the presence of God, where God's people are gathered. Scriptures say, there I am. So there is power in this room. He said, oh, I don't really feel like there's much power. Well, actually, whether or not you feel it, the reality is the scripture says that there is power where God is with his people. So you might have a need in your life right now. I'd love to pray for you. At the end of the service, other people will pray for you because there is power here to be healed. There is power here for restoration. There is power here to get back on track. Okay? You agree with that? All right. Good. You're very quiet this morning. So, you know, you can smile. It's all right. That's good. That's good. All right. But I love the next verse, verse 18. It says, some men. Now, these men aren't named. Do you know that many, in fact, probably the vast majority of people of the Bible ever refers to actually never get their name written down? It was just some men. But I like that because I'm actually just one of those guys. All the other men here, you're just one of those guys, yeah? The ladies, you're just one of the ladies, okay? I mean, yes, we're very special, but actually if we were just part of the story, if the scriptures were being written down today, I reckon I'd just be some guy, all right? But that's all right. That's okay because it's some men that get used by God and they don't have their name in lights. They're just everyday people and God uses regular people. He uses ordinary people. So here are some friends And God uses ordinary people to bring other people from the outside to the inside to Jesus. Ordinary people. You do not need qualifications. You don't need to go to university. You don't need to have finished school. You don't need to have done anything particularly amazing or anything out of the ordinary to be used by God. You just need to say, God, here I am. Use me for what you want. I'll tell you something that God wants. He wants for you to bring others to the inside, to be a bringer to the inside. Now, these people were people of faith, and they brought their friend. What were they thinking? Well, let's just have a guess at what they were thinking. I think what they were thinking was, if we can just bring our friend who is lying on this mat, now we don't know what his story was. We certainly don't know his name either. So here's a bunch of guys, we don't know their names. But they must have been imagining, if we can just bring our friend to Jesus, things can change. If we can just bring him to Jesus, if we can get him into the presence of Jesus, he will be healed, he will be set free, he'll be made new. Imagine if he got off that bed. Imagine if he could walk. Imagine how his life would change. Have you got people in your world? There are people in your world thinking, if they could just get to know Jesus, things would change. You see, this guy that's brought to Jesus, I've mentioned about outsiders, he was also an outsider. He was an outsider because he was basically on his bed, and that was his lot in life. He might have been a beggar, we don't know. But, Centrelink didn't come through every fortnight for him because that didn't exist, yeah? So he was an outsider. And here we got this story of him being physically actually outside. I mean, the friends actually get to the house, and the house is playing sardines in there, okay? There's no room. In fact, it's so crowded that they think, the only way in is by some other means. And, of course, we know what they do. We'll get to it. But we just read it. They dug the roof, okay? They lowered him through. But we will get back to that. I just want to let you know that, I don't know about you, but in my life, I've got a testimony of faithful people around me that God has used to bring me into the presence and into the life of Jesus Christ. When I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian home, but that didn't make me a Christian. It gave me, I guess, a good establishment of the ideas and principles of what it was to know God, that God was real, but I had to make my own decision. But it was actually the people around me, friends that would drive me to youth group, people that would go out of their way to call me up and say, how are you going? They are the people, they were the people that made a difference. They were the some men. They were the some men, like in this story. They brought me to Jesus. Because, the Bible says that actually, not just physically, but particularly spiritually, before we know Jesus and accept him in our life, we are all on the outside. We are all on the outside. You might be the best goody-two-shoes in the world, but you know what? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's standards. And so we need to come and find Jesus and find his forgiveness. And so I've been blessed by others, and I want to bless others too now. Because, when you've actually experienced the love of God, it makes a difference to you. You go, I want other people to know what I've experienced. It's not something that we keep to ourselves. So verse 19, we might put that up on the screen, could we? When they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd. So, reverse renovation rescue right there, okay? Sometimes when you've got, now here's the, there's a point to this. Sometimes, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this a while ago when I was looking at this passage. He says, Andrew, you know, when you face obstacles, sometimes it's you're looking down, you've got to lift your vision. These men actually physically actually had to lift their vision. How is there a way forward here? They saw the stairs. You see, in those days, there were stairs on the outsides of buildings. People used the tops of houses as places to dry food, to prepare food, to dry clothes, to do all sorts of things, to have a sunbath. No, I don't think they did that, but, you know, you get the idea, okay? It was a different, it was another living space, flat-roofed houses, and there were usually stairs on the way up. Well, in fact, I guess there were always stairs on the way up. I mean, I don't think they leaped up there. So, yeah, there were always stairs. But, you know, sometimes I think the problem we might face sometimes is that when we can't see a way forward, it's because our eyes are down. We're looking down. But the Bible says, I lift my eyes. The psalmist says, doesn't it? I lift my eyes to the hills. That's just a metaphor for lifting your vision. And when we lift our vision, when we look to God, the maker of heaven and earth, that's where we know our salvation comes from. So lift your vision. The answer to your problem may well be to lift your eyes. Now, verse 20, I love this. When Jesus saw their faith. Why don't you say this? Jesus saw their faith. Say it. Jesus saw their faith. How can you see faith? Well, faith isn't just an idea. Faith is always represented by an action. Because real faith actually always leads to a decision that gets brought forward into doing something. So Jesus saw their faith. Now, do you notice this, that Jesus didn't see the man on the mat's faith? He's just getting dragged around, okay? And what are you doing to me now? We're lowering you through the roof. Really? Come on, man. You know, he's just lowered down there. We don't know whether he had any faith at all. This is actually a bit of a strange story because Jesus heals somebody that actually doesn't necessarily have faith, but the friends do. Some men do. Faith can be seen. Faith is visible. It's not just an idea. It's not just a thought. It always gets translated into action. So Jesus responded to the faith of his friends, the man's friends. Okay, I want to give you four things that happened in this story. What was the end result? What happened because these friends brought their friend? They were bringers. Well, four things happened. The first thing in verse 20 was the man's sins were forgiven. The man's sins were forgiven. That was his greatest need. He may not have realized that was his greatest need, but his greatest need was for his sins to be forgiven. Today, if you have never had come into a relationship with Jesus or you've gone away from walking with him, your greatest need may not be financial. It may not be your health. It may not be a relationship with somebody else. And they are all real things. But your greatest need today may be your sins need to be forgiven, to be made right with God. That's the starting point. So this man's sins were forgiven. And okay, so these four things are amazing because it all happened because people brought a friend, okay? Firstly, the man's sins were forgiven. Secondly, verse 25, the man was healed. Wow, immediately the man got up. Number three, this man went home praising God. And number four, everyone was amazed. Verse 26, everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Does that sound like magnifying God? Everyone was amazed and gave thanks to God. But it all started with what? It all started with being a bringer, of saying, hey, come with me. In fact, they were carriers. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to carry others. maybe not physically, but we need to carry their burdens. We need to get alongside them. You know, people find relationship through proximity. What do I mean by that? I mean that you need to get into the space of somebody. You need to get alongside somebody to actually interact with somebody. So absolutely, phone calls are great. Texts are great. Contact like that is good. But get into their space. Get into their world. Be a bringer to get someone from the outside to the inside. What happened? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what happened next in the lives of those five men? One was on the mat, maybe four were on each corner of the mat. What happened in their lives? The man who was healed? Well, first of all, his sins were forgiven. He had a revelation that God could forgive him. He also had a revelation that God loved him. And his story would have been, I couldn't walk and Jesus told me to get up off my mat. Jesus is the Lord. He has power. He has changed my life. Look at me. I am free. Physically free, spiritually free. So he's got a story. Isn't that great? He's got a story. But what about the friends who brought him? You know, I think one of the most encouraging things that we can ever do in our lives is to bring somebody who needs God to a place where they can hear about him, hear about his love for them, know that God is for them, and see them respond. So these men, these friends, they would have had the commendation of Jesus himself. And when you actually know that you're in that sweet spot of what God wants, gee, there's no better place to be. There's no better place to be than when you actually are in that zone of seeing God do something amazing. Now, who is in your world right now that needs Jesus? Can you just do a bit of thinking for me? Because the answers will be different for each of you. But I want you just to consider, just in this next 30 seconds right now, who has God placed in my life? Because there are people God's placed in your life that I won't reach. I mean, because we live in different cities, for one thing, but also just because I believe that God specifically places us strategically for moments in time where people will come from the outside to the inside. When people are brought from the outside in. But it does take us to actually acknowledge that God wants to use us. Because if you start saying, well, God could never use me, then immediately you're not only discounting yourself, but you're also discounting the people that God's placed in your world. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? That God, you know, that we can actually discount not only ourselves, but also discount other people that God has placed around us that desperately need to know that God loves them. So that's not to put pressure on us. That's not to put pressure on you. But it all just begins with just that openness to say, okay, God, I'm not sure how this works, but I'm here. Use me. I'm here. Use me. Has God brought people to your mind when I said, who's in your world? Has God put them? Did someone jump into your mind right there and then? Maybe that's the Holy Spirit saying to you, hey, pray, don't give up. You might be thinking, but you know what? I've had them on my heart for a long time and nothing seems to have happened. Anyone in that sort of situation? You've got some people in your world, you're thinking, God, when are you going to move? Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I believe that some people are desperately wanting a connection and you are the person to bring that connection. I just want to throw up onto the screen Psalm 122, verse 1. We got that there? It says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Very simple verse. Some of you might have heard that quite a few times, but you can actually get a lot out of that. Can we just unpack that for a minute? I was glad. Someone in your world is going to be glad when you invite them. I think we've got this impression that people are not going to be interested to be invited to church. I think that if people know you and that you are genuine and that you show love and you are a genuine friend and you're friendly and kind and you're just doing your best, you're not perfect, but you're doing your best, they'll go, okay, I'll give that a go because I can see that it's working for your life. People actually want what you've got. Do you know that? People want what you've got. And we think, oh, I don't think they really want what I've got. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. They will be glad because they. Now, why is there an emphasis on they? Because it's the community together. So I've been talking about the individual, like who's God put in your world. That's an individual thing. But we together are bringers, yeah? So when they said to me, let's go, someone's going to be glad. So isn't that an exciting idea that there are people in around and about this community of Bathurst, this city of Bathurst, this beautiful place that are going to be glad in this next week, in this next month, in this next year when they, the community of people, which actually also includes you, right, invite someone to be coming from the outside to the inside. They're going to be glad. They're going to be glad and they're going to be blessed. God has positioned you. I want you to believe that today. Some of you are not believing it, but I just want you to, just with that little bit of faith that you've got there, you don't need much, you just need a bit. God has positioned you. So if you can say that quietly in your own mind today, God has positioned me to be a bringer. I'm just some man. I'm just some woman. I'm just an everyday person, but I am open to God. I am available to Him, and I want what's on God's heart to be in my heart, and I want God's love to be shed abroad, poured out around me. I've experienced it. I want someone else to know about it. I believe they're going to be glad when I invite them to C3 Cares. They're going to be glad when I invite them to church. They're going to be glad when I say, come over for a cup of tea. Let's just do life together. They're going to be glad. You see, you are positioned. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus gets up early on in his ministry and he quotes the words of Isaiah 61. We're just going to read this first two verses of Luke 4, or just the two verses that are quoted there. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. 2017, why can't that be the year of the Lord's favor? Around your world, around your friends, around your family. The year of God's favor, where God says, this is the time, this is the time. Stop being an outsider, come in. You don't need to be held away anymore. There's no barrier anymore. And I want to encourage you that God's positioned you for such a time as this. There's no accident that you are where you are. You might think, well, that's because I've made this decision and that decision and or whatever. But actually, in the purposes of God, God works things out amazingly. You are here for such a time as this, and God has positioned you and he has anointed you. What does that mean? It simply means the power of God will be on you and in you to do his work as you are open to him. You are anointed. Just a religious word, but it simply means the power of God, the power of the Spirit is in you to work through you. For God wants to reach a world that's broken. And there are people in your world that are broken. But God is a mender. But we need to be bringers. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to connect personally if you're in town. We meet on Sundays at 217 Howick Street for a 10:30 service. Or visit our website, c3churchbathurst.org.